Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her way and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. The next passage is from Matthew 6:26-34. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we wear, or what shall we drink? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Dorothy. Thanks for doing that on the spur of the moment this morning. There's no kids' church today, but Sue's got packed. Oh, she's on the job already there. So this morning we're going to look at those two passages, and the Bible is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful as to how it reveals the heart of God to us, and how it reveals the power and the wisdom of God to us. What in the world has gone wrong with my timer anyway? I'm just going to have to keep doing this to me. It's an incredible guide for life and a stronghold in these troubled times. God's word is unshakable in shakable times. And I really enjoyed this counter quote. Stephen Hawking said, religion is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. And John Lennox, I don't know if you know him, he's a great apologist. He said, atheism is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the light. And I thought that was an incredibly good comeback. That's why people want to be atheists, because they don't want to walk in the light and accountability of God's word. But the Bible isn't a fairy story. It isn't a fairy story just because we're afraid of the dark. It's this incredible revelation of who our God is and the incredible peace that his infallible word brings to us when we face troubled times. And today we're going to do a biology lesson from those beautiful passages that Dorothy read to us. And we're not talking about the birds and the bees. We're going to talk about the birds and the ants. And these two passages are quite interesting because they seem to contradict each other, because we're told to learn lessons from this fauna and from their behavior. And it says that the ants, they store up grain. They work hard and they store up grain for the winter. And then it says of the birds, they neither store up grain nor sow, and the Father meets their needs. But we're going to look at those two lessons. One is the lesson of the ant, which is prudence. And the other one is the lessons of the birds and the lilies, which is providence. And then later on, we're going to go to another P, which is partnership. And all of these things are part of God's counsel to us. And they work together in parallel. But what we're going to start with is prudence. And let's start with that. The definition of prudence is to be wise in practical affairs by providing for the future, care, caution, and good judgment. This quality lines up with God's purposes for us as a people. He He means for us to be proactive and productive. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and he said to them, go and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and manage the earth, rule over the earth, manage the earth. He gave them untold resources. He gave them, apart from one tree, he gave them all the trees, all the resources, all the stuff for food. But he also told them to tend the garden. So he gave them resources, but then he said, steward those resources. Put your fingerprints on them and make things better. Work. It wasn't toil before the fall. It was only after the fall that work sort of took on an aspect of toil. But he was saying, go work this garden and be diligent and be wise and make something of it. And this proverb is a clear directive for us away from laziness and inactivity, where we just want life to come to us, that entitlement where we just think life should come to us. It calls us to wise and purposeful living. It calls us to diligent work and just to be prudent with our resources. Even the incredible things that God has given us, he's entrusted to us to do well with them and live well and live wisely with them. Look at Proverbs 21 verse 20. It says, precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. There's an encouragement there for us to provide for our families, to be wise with our resources, not squandering our resources on wanton spending, giving in to the sort of advertising machine that wants us to buy every jolly thing that's out there on the market without providing for the future. We don't give in to the moment's pleasure, and we let God help us distribute and manage what he's given us wisely. That's what prudence is. I also enjoyed this bit of graffiti. There was a sign that said Jesus saves, and someone wrote underneath it, Moses invests. Both are good strategies. We know that's not actually what was meant, but it is a bit amusing. Quite a clever bit of graffiti there. Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. This passage speaks about how our prudence, how our good planning actually is a blessing even to generations after us. The wise living and prudent living is a blessing to many generations. But this passage also recognizes the reality of the world. It says there is injustice in the world, and in a lot of places where people are poor, it's not because there's actually no providence there. It's because of injustice. Circumstances in a fallen world sweep those things away. And the Bible acknowledges that. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you're unable to save up for your children and your children's children that you're not a good person. If you go anywhere in sort of the developing world, you find there's situations there where people live from hand to mouth, and the resources get swept away by injustice or war or famine, and people, maybe the best inheritance they can give their children is a spiritual inheritance. That is the best inheritance anybody can give their children. But the Bible recognizes that there are circumstances that make it hard, sometimes that cut in to even the best of plans, from the best of hearts. But it's beautiful to know that God has got it covered, because Psalm 37:25 says this, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. And isn't that a beautiful promise? God says, I'll provide where there's injustice. I'll provide where hard circumstances have put you under pressure. But that's jumping ahead to the bird section of the talk. So let's just go back to providence and maybe just look at a couple of examples. There's so many examples of this prudence and stewardship. It really essentially is working hard to provide well for your dependents. It means working hard to and planning well to prepare for your future, for maybe your latter years. It could be something like being ready for emergencies. such as the storms and the earthquakes or economic challenges due to geopolitical situations. And this current Gulf crisis is a very real thing that we need to be praying for. We're going to pray a little bit later. If it takes the low road, it could not just be a shortage of fuel, but of fertilizer, of food, of all sorts of things, medication. We don't want to panic, but it's not bad to be prepared. You could prepare just with a bit of resilience in your food planning, some extra rations, growing some veggies. Planning is also traveling with a grab bag, having a grab bag, being ready in case you're caught in an earthquake or a slip or a flood or something like that. All of these things is just to be aware of the world around you and to be prepared. That falls under prudence. I like the story of Scott and Amundsen. Well, the story of Scott is a bit tragic, but those two guys were racing to the pole. And if you look in the reports, Scott was complaining about the bad luck of losing a critical piece of navigational equipment. It turned out that Amundsen took numerous of those items. He made sure that there was a number of people could navigate so that in the eventuality of losing a critical piece of equipment, they would be ready. And we want to be prepared with God's wisdom. Other examples is just working so that we can be a blessing to others, managing our resources well so that we can be a blessing to others. And this is what Ephesians 4 verse 28 says. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he will have something to share with anyone in need. And that's also one of the blessings of God's providence to us, that then it puts us in a position to be a blessing to others. We're going to touch on that again a bit later. The beautiful thing about this is we don't respond in fear and reaction to the environment, but we prayerfully ask for God's guidance and wisdom. And the beautiful thing about it, the Holy Spirit can actually cause us to see stuff that you can't even yet see. It's not even in the news feed. And if we're attentive to God and ask for His guidance, it's amazing. Just one example, you guys have probably heard the story, but when we were praying about coming to New Zealand, and the door hadn't opened, we weren't sure at all whether we'd be able to come or get a visa, but we'd been thinking about it and praying about it, and the Lord said to us, I felt like Him say to me, and I don't normally hear God this specifically, sell the house. I want to see a step of faith, sell the house. And we were like, whoa, we were like really shook by that, but we felt like it was God, and we sold our house, not knowing if we would be able to move. And about 2 or 3 months after we sold our house, we still didn't know if we could come, but the house markets in South Africa like crashed by 30%. And some months after that, God finally opened the door. But if we hadn't sold our house when we did, it was like a third of our only resource would have been gone. And so God was so faithful, and He told us it in advance. And that's the beauty of knowing the God who sees the whole of history spread out in front of Him. And God can speak to us like that. So let's learn from the ant as we negotiate in this life. The heart in this is also what we've got to do in our prudence, is we must be careful to keep the right heart. Because when we practice this prudence, we don't want to be doing it out of greed or worldliness. And there's a very good warning passage that we find in Luke 12 verse 16. It's a parable that Jesus told about a man, and it said, and He told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So the one who lays up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. And that's just a warning. We don't do this so that we can satisfy our physical kind of passions. and focus, accumulate resources so we can live a good life and focus on ourselves. God does bless us with good things, that we can enjoy those good things, but they must never become, we must never be motivated by greed or worldliness and indulging in the flesh. And the other great danger is the problem of pride. And if we see this guy, he says, I will do this, I will do that. And he actually, the idolatry of that was that he saw his strength and his stronghold and his source as probably his own abilities and his worldly resources and his planning. And he put those things, he put a security in his material possessions rather than in God. And there's a danger of that. We don't ever want to do that. We never want to be prudent out of fear and a lack of trust in God. And that brings us really to the lessons from the birds. And our Matthew passage, which will come up, I'm not going to read it again, but we see so many beautiful lessons in this wonderful parable of Jesus, these sayings of Jesus. And this is what we learn from the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. This is where we come to the subject of providence. And there's some key takeaways in this passage. Firstly, Jesus exhorts his followers to never be fearful, to banish anxiety. Our prudence must never be motivated, as we said, by unbelief in the character of God or fear. We can live without fear when we start to see what Jesus says about God, when we start to realize what our God is like. Then we see that our confidence does not rest on the assurance that things will be good. It's not really a prosperity doctrine. Jesus said each day will have enough troubles. So he didn't say you're not going to have any troubles. If you trust God, there'll be no troubles. He says you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Each day there will be. So it's not like, oh no, it's fine. Everything's going to work out all right. You know, I love the can-do attitude in this nation. She'll be right. And there's a good thing about that. But we can't guarantee she'll be right if outside of God's kingdom and God's purpose and our trust in Him. And yeah, for those who don't know God, it's good to get in line with God, because we can't guarantee there won't be troubles in this world. There are other people making decisions and choices out of, including leadership and governments that affect us. They're made out of wrong motives, and that affects us. So we will have trouble in this world. But then we see there's this incredible confidence, and the confidence, the sure rock, the solid ground in this promise is nothing other than the character of God, the matchless, immutable, unchangeable character of God. And Jesus says this, guys, the reason why you can have so much peace is that I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. He's your Heavenly Father, and He knows what you need. And He's not like an earthly father. And the Bible says even earthly fathers give good things to their children. But He's saying He's your Heavenly Father, and His heart is full of generosity. His heart is full of care for your every anxiety. And He's willing and able to provide for you in any circumstance. And you know the beautiful thing about God? He's above politics. He's above circumstances in the world. His resources are not in any way constrained by the environment around us. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world. God doesn't go, uh-oh, didn't see that coming. How am I going to meet that need? He has abundant resources, and He's not restricted by the circumstances in this world. The Scripture is brimming with assurances towards us as to the nature of God as a providing, powerful Father. We know these Scriptures we're going to look at, we know them well, fortunately, because we've grown up on them if we're Christians. But let's just, as we read them, let the Holy Spirit, let them really click into our hearts, so that we can be encouraged, and let them be deeply implanted in us so that He can displace the anxiety of our times. Psalm 23, verse 1, the most beloved passive part of the Scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my Father. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What incredible, incredible statements about God. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that so beautiful? Isn't that so incredible? A heart guarded with peace because of a trust and a faith in God. And in these passages, these New Testament passages, we see there's a proactivity needed. There's a faith needed here. The peace comes from the trusting. The peace comes when we... God doesn't change. God doesn't diminish. We don't automatically get peace from Him. We get peace from Him when we put our trust in Him, when we recognize who He is, and when we cast all our cares upon Him, knowing that He's got it, and He'll look after and He'll look after us. We do need to learn to put our trust in Him. A personal testimony. We're driving along in this pretty fairly new Toyota Ute, and we heard this and suddenly there was oil all over the road, and very seldom happens in a Toyota, but something had gone wrong in the diff, and some part had come smashing through the side of the gearbox, and all the oil ran out, and there was just this catastrophic failure of our gearbox, I can't remember the actual details, but I was like, and it was at a time when we were pretty tired to meet, and I was just like complaining. I was like, Lord, how in the world are we going to pay for this? And the Lord led me to the scripture in Mark 8:14. And this is when Jesus and the boys were on the boat. And it says, and now they had forgotten to bring bread. They didn't bring anything for the road. And they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves and for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you take up? And they said 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And he said to them, 7. They said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And that's what God said to me. He said, Bruce, haven't you got it yet? And I had to go, oh Lord, because I've seen over the years time and time and time and time and time and time again, God provides supernaturally out of the blue for just thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for overseas trips, for needs, for everything that we need, way beyond what I could ever have provided. And Jesus, I was moaning again, and Jesus was, Bruce, don't you get it? Let's do a little exercise. Will you count the baskets? Go back to those past testimonies and count the baskets. Remember that I fed, how many people was it? 5,000 people. How many fish was it? 5. How many baskets left over? 12. Interestingly, one for each disciple. And he's like, guys, you're worried because you forgot lunch and there's only one loaf of bread between the 13 of us. And he's saying, don't you get it yet? Go and count the baskets and just remember what I've done. And that's what the Lord said to me. He said, Bruce, come on, don't you get it? Go count the baskets. And I had to repent. And then someone found out about this thing who repaired vehicles. And he said, don't worry, I'll repair it for you. And we were like, oh, thank you, Lord. And Lord, I did it again. I think I must be a bit of a basket case, because there's times when I still need to count baskets. There's times where I still just let the greatness of God's character and His providence diminish in the light of the current challenges. May God help us to count baskets, and may He help us to get it, that it clicks in our heart, that He will never let us, He will never forsake us. And the response of all of that is beautiful peace in the unchangeable nature of our God. The other themes that come through is this, is just that God doesn't change, but there's also incredible promises. Not only the God who cannot lie says, I promise, I'll meet all your needs. I know you need them. I will meet them. Don't fear. Don't worry about that. And that's such an incredible thing. That God is the great partner. He's the senior partner in this partnership. He's the initiator and the provider of all the resources, even the resources that we have to prudently steward. They still come from him. Not like that guy who said, No, we go, God, thank you that actually everything we have comes from you. And we will look after it well. And the last thing that this passage reveals is that with this peace in our heart and with this knowledge of the source, the supernatural source, we are able to be free from the worries of this world, and we're able to focus on the kingdom of God. And our passage, I should probably have put it back there, but our passage, which at the end, Jesus said, so don't worry about the things of the world, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The righteousness of God so often is actually providence, help, mercy towards people, doing the right thing. But God says, because you're free from this worry, go out there and live for my kingdom. Live for your calling. Live for your purpose. Live to bring my kingdom to this world. Show my love to this world. And that's the beauty. That's the challenge. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be, when we get this revelation, we tap into the vat of his unlimited resources. Because God wants us to be a conduit to a needy world of incredible, incredible resources. We see that revealed in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And it says, and the point of this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, he may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He will supply seed to the sower and bread. Sorry, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Isn't that a beautiful description of God? First it talks about a caring father. Now it's saying he's the one who provides the seed. This is at grassroots. This is the very source of the providence. He provides seed for the sower and bread for those who are hungry. That's the title of God. He's the provider. And it says, he says, I'm not only going to meet your needs, like was promised in the story of the birds. He says, but if you are willing, if you have faith in me, I will give you resources to meet other people's needs. If you're willing to sow, if you're willing to be a channel, I'll give you everything you need to be generous on every occasion. That's a kind of mind-blowing, the resources that God is saying are available for us. If we'll just say, God, I'll be that channel to be a blessing to others. And the context of this passage, this is what brings us into the last P of this morning's message, and that's partnership. And it's where God calls us as a community of his people to be used as agents of blessings to one another and blessings to people in the world. And we see that this is God's willingness to provide for us beyond our needs so that we can be a blessing to others. And he has this beautiful picture of dependence within a body whereby we are able to meet the needs of others. Where others lack and we have gained, we can meet their needs. If we look in 2 Corinthians a little bit further on, it says, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need. that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathers much had nothing left, and whoever gathers little had no lack. And that's a beautiful reference. This scripture, this passage was written to the Corinthians at a time when a great famine had come upon Israel. And the church in Jerusalem was in trouble. There wasn't enough resources. And Paul, there was a prophet said, there's going to be a famine. Let the churches around Europe and Asia Minor begin to send their extra resources to the struggling church in Jerusalem. And God, they collected more, they had less. God said, let's fix that deficit by the generosity of the churches. And this is something that works locally and translocally amongst God's people. That God says, that Paul is saying, it's a reference to when God sprinkled manna on the earth to feed his people. It didn't land in their hands. It didn't land in their pots. They had to go and collect it. And some got more and some got less of the resources. And when they put it all together, there was enough for everyone. And God says, that's actually how I like it. I'm gonna make sure that in a community, I will provide for a community that there's more than enough. And that calls us to be in community so that we can, when we are abounding, we can be a blessing to others. And when we are abased, we're able to receive that blessing. Isn't that so beautiful, that partnership that God creates? It's so important for us to be connected to a local church body so that we can be a part of this beautiful partnership, this beautiful sharing, this heart of sharing, this fellowship that we find. We live in interesting times, and Matthew 24, I quoted it already. It says that there's nations will rise against nations. It says that there will be kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are the beginning of the birth pains. It's really interesting that word earthquake is seismos. It means to shake. But it's also used in the New Testament for a storm. So there's going to be storms. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Jesus says, look up, your redemption is getting close. But then he goes on to say, and this is so important, in Matthew 24, verse 14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Can you see that Jesus is saying it's in that challenging environment, with the wars and the earthquakes and the winds and the storms? It's in that environment that the church is called to carry on preaching the gospel. The nations that still need to be reached, the hearts that still need to be reached, the people around us, whoever they may be, walking into the art gallery, crossing our paths at work. Jesus said, I want this gospel to be preached. I want the nations to be discipled. That's the Great Commission. So it's in the middle of that that we are called to be God's conduits. So we have to be adding all these P's together. We've got to work all the counsel of God into our lives. We need to live prudently and intentionally with the resources God has given us. We need to live in peace and trust in the promise of an unchanging God's provision. We need to rest fully in His unshakable character and His ability to provide for us regardless of what's going on around us. And we need to stay connected to community so that we can play our part in being a blessing, and so that we are there, we're there if we need to receive help and pull together in times like this, so that together we can carry on with the Great Commission. Together we can go to the nations, together we can go to our neighbors, together we can tell people about the love of God and show them very practically when the world is hurting. So let's bow our heads and just ask for God's grace. Lord, we thank you for what we read about you this morning. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us for our times, Lord. And Lord, I really pray that we're a people who love your word, but what we ask, Holy Spirit, is that you take your word and implant it in our hearts. as I was saying, Lord, I'm preaching on this, but I still need greater revelation, Lord. I still want to really get it, Lord. Help us to count the baskets. Help us to meditate on your scripture. Push in to know you as your character. Help us to step out and trust you so that we can see your providence as well, Lord. Help us to be a prudent people and a people who have a deep revelation of the providence, the backing of heaven, the resources that are available if we want to be generous and express who you are, Lord, to the needy around us. And help us, Lord, to be a people who pull together in partnership. Help us to be a people sensitive to your Holy Spirit. To write the truth into our hearts, I pray, God. And let us walk in all the purposes that you have for us as a community. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship him with just one last song of his greatness and his goodness.
Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
It's so important for us to be praying at this time, because we pray to this good God, and God said we should pray for those in leadership, pray for everybody, that we can live in peace, and that men and women can come to know Jesus. And there was a couple of prayers that went up in the prayer meeting this morning that I thought would be really nice if the guys could come and pray them, so we can agree together as a congregation. But let's also, as we go through the week in our time, we have audience with the God of heaven. And let's be praying for our world. So Stephen and Harry, if you guys would come and pray those aspects that you prayed this morning, we'll agree with you.
Thank you. I'm just going to pray for peace in the nations, and also for us in these times, and just looking at what Jesus said. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Father, we're living in the midst of turmoil at the moment. Lord, we think about the aftermath of Gaza. We think about the war in the Ukraine, the conflict in Iran. And especially, Lord, we think of the quote-unquote peace conference that's going on right now to resolve the issues concerning Iran. And Lord, we know that the battle is a spiritual one, that it's in the heavenlies. And we also know, Lord, that you do overrule, that your purposes, despite all the turmoil, the raging of the nations, your purposes will prevail. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, for an end to conflict in these areas, Lord, for a return to some form of normality, Lord. And we pray especially, Lord, for your people in these places.
Lord. Yes, God.
Lord, may your peace rest with them in the midst of it all. May they still be able to share the goodness of God to those who are around them. I'll just ask that in Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to pray, Lord, and Steve, Lord, and I pray, Lord, for people, Lord, who are dealing with job losses, for the fuel prices at the moment, Lord, and that are being cut, people looking for jobs, rises going up, and people are struggling. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you are good, Lord, that you guide us. You guide people are looking for jobs, or people are struggling with the reality of the moment, but Lord, that you are still there. That you guide us, Lord, and you show us your grace, you show us, Lord, and comfort us, Lord, where we are and where we go.
Amen. Awesome. So, guys, let's keep praying. Let's pray for people in this storm, that God will preserve lives. We've just got a few announcements, and then we can have a cup of coffee together. A few things are happening in May. They're quite exciting. First of all, we've got Jermaine Allen. The pastor at Marston Community Church. He's going to be sharing with us on the 3rd of May, so don't miss out on that. He's a young man, him and his wife Nadine recently took over the leadership of MCC after 20 years, and God's just blessing them. He carried an incredible testimony of salvation out of like a really, really rough background, and God has just been working in this young man's life. So he's going to share something of his testimony in the message that he brings to us. So it's a great time to bring friends. It's a good time to be here. The other thing is the GTT, which is a geographic training time. NCMI have these in certain regions, so it's easier to get to. And there's going to be one on the 16th of May in Lower Hutt. North Base is hosting that. So diarize that for 9 o'clock, and that sort of includes lunch and goes into the sort of mid-afternoon. So don't miss out on that. And then also,
big highlight of the year, the unity of the churches. On the 24th of May, there won't be any service here. All the churches in the Wairarapa get together for Pentecost service in one place at the Wairarapa College Hall. So get that, also put that in your diary. Don't come to church that day. We'll all be gathered there with the rest of the church. Guys, God bless you. Have a great week. Have a lovely cup of coffee. And just live in the assurance of who God is and what He has promised. In Jesus' name, God bless. There's a little video clip for the GPT. I was going ahead of myself. So you started in where did you start? Were the scriptures or
a little bit into
my part? Okay, no problem.
I think we're on page 4, I think we were.
Oh, right. I do.